So for our wonderful speaker tonight, you know, I can kid all I want, and I'm so glad that I can, and I'm so glad that our family is the kind of family where we can act silly and have a good time and know that God loves us and loves it when we're happy. God wants us to be happy. The guy back there, too. Yeah. See, you know, this young lady's been in my life for a long time, and I've seen her go through so much, so many things that this young lady has gone through physically, and she lost her mama, who she loved dearly, mom to the free side of life, and I've seen her, as she's gone through these years, growing with each thing that she comes across in her life. She just keeps on growing. She had a period of time when she was laid off from work for, I don't know, maybe 4 years, and guess what? She just had herself a good time. Then she goes back to work, and they hired her back because they couldn't do without her. They missed her during those 4 years, but it was okay with her. She just had a good time. Now, that is what God wants us to do in this life, is to enjoy, because he put everything here for us to enjoy, including this young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, our Lindy. Yay!
Too hard for it. Thank you. Well, tonight is Wednesday, March the 9th. Last week was March 4th, a holiday. The only day of the year that's a critical imperative. March 4th. Next week is St. Patrick's Day. And you all have heard me talk about Groundhog Day before. I'm one of the only people in the world who doesn't view Groundhog Day as a comedy, but rather as a spiritual testimony. You haven't heard my speech about Groundhog Day, but I'm not going to talk about that tonight either. However, if I can call Groundhog Day the movie a spiritual testimony, then I can call Row, Row, Row Your Boat a spiritual testimony as well. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. How many of you were here Sunday? Barbara gave a message to Nicolette about row, row, row your boat. And I thought that was wonderful because Spirit had given me the concept of row, row, row your boat as the topic for my talk earlier in the Sunday service. So it was like validation or coincidence. And you know what we think about coincidence. So, as always, I looked up Row, Row, Row Your Boat, and it has its own Wikipedia article. It's an English language nursery rhyme, popular children's song, often sung as a round, and it was written, or published at least, in 1852 from the U.S. As we know, the most common modern version is Row, Row, Row Your Boat, gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Now, Ram Dass was the one who first came up with the idea that this is a spiritual song. I heard him say it back in 1980-something, and he put it in his book, Be Here Now, I think. Because Row, Row, Row Your Boat is essential, Be Here Now. Sometimes it's called an action nursery rhyme because children have been known to sit facing each other and row with their hands together, holding hands. But we all know it's just a song, not an action verb. Sometimes the lyrics are called, according to Wikipedia, a metaphor for life's difficult choices, and many see the boat as referring to oneself or a group with which one identifies. Well, We all know that there are dozens of boat metaphors in the language. Whatever floats your boat, up the creek without a paddle, only rowing with one oar, wait till my ship comes in. There are boat metaphors for a reason, because they really work. Boats are wonderful if they're floating, and definitely dangerous if they're not. That is, presuming they are on the water. But more about that later. Rowing, according to Wikipedia, is a skillful, if tedious, practice that takes perfection but also directs the vessel. The act of rowing, when sung as a group, becomes a unifier, as oars must be in sync in a rowboat. We all know Jeff's image of a rowboat when you're only rowing with one oar and you're going around in circles. He uses that for people who are going around in circles in their lives. And as Jeff says, you have to do 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 to paddle in a straight direction. So you get muscles on both sides. Wikipedia has some alternative verses. A couple is all, thankfully. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Verily, 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 life is down the drain. I'm not crazy about the spin on that one. But I do kind of like row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, throw your teacher overboard and listen to her scream. Oh, my pages are out of order. How fortunate that I didn't number them. In popular culture, it says here, Captain Kirk, Dr. McCoy, and Mr. Spock sang it at the beginning and end of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, in 1989, reflecting issues about the need for self-discovery. Is that what it was reflecting? I don't understand that much at all. It's used in the soundtrack of the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is the only Jim Carrey movie I've ever really enjoyed. And it's reflecting issues of the importance of memory to reality. That makes more sense to me. Let's talk about each segment of Row, Row, Row Your Boat, and then we will sing it. Row, row, row. Life is hard. Scott Peck. Rowing is work. Whether you do it 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3-4, or rowing with both hands, rowing is work. The people I know that row regularly today get up at oh dark 30 to go out in the freaking freezing weather to put on clothes that are going to get wet. And then in the dark, they proceed to use all the muscles in their body to pull hundreds of pounds of weight through the water. Rowing is hard work. But they're fit, aren't they? Your boat. I've alluded to some of the concepts of boat. But it brings to me the poem by Hafiz that says, God and I are like two giant fat people in a tiny boat. We keep bumping into each other and laughing. So a boat is a container that holds not only us, but God. Because as we know, God is everywhere. God knows everything, sees everything, and definitely floats my boat. But everybody's boat is unique because it belongs to everybody. I mean, each of us has our own boat. And as a metaphor for life, we want it to be a 100-foot yacht, don't we? At least I hope mine would be at least a 100-foot yacht. Preferably, it would be a celebrity cruise ship. forever on the Alaska junket, except occasional trips to Hawaii for repositioning, but it's not repositioning to Mexico. It's repositioning to Alaska from Alaska via Hawaii. That's my idea of a boat. But think about it. Our boat includes our family. It includes our loved ones, our church family, our pets, our cars, our belongings, our stuff. All of that is in our boat. And we have to row, row, row hard, the way life works sometimes, to get to where we want to be. And sometimes we don't make it. A young lady at a meeting I went to last night talked about she had prayed all her life for a husband. And here she is in her mid-50s, not having found one. And she asked, why does God do that? If I had that answer, I'd be a very wealthy woman. And a very happy one, too, although I'm happy anyway. But why does God not give us everything we ask for is a topic for another talk. Gently down the stream. Let's start with gently. Gently is about compassion. It's about loving ourselves, which is why I wanted to sing I Love Myself the Way I Am. Because gently is the quintessential part of the song that addresses how we're going to live our life. It's in the emotional segment of life, not the financial or psychological or intellectual. It's the emotional portion. Gently speaks to what we want to, how we want to be treated. It's like the golden rule of the song. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know, everybody thinks the golden rule is do unto others before they can do unto you. But my dad lived his life from the real golden rule, and he was a great man as a result of doing that. So, gently. Gently, gently, gently. It's compassion, it's tenderness, it's kindness, it's generosity, it's love. Gently. So we need to remember to love and live gently. Down the stream. Ha! I laugh in the face of going down the stream. Going upstream is so much more adventurous and exciting and exhausting and doesn't really get us anywhere. There's a book which I would have bought had I found out about it before last night. It's called, wait for it, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. A Guide for Living Life in the Divine Flow. It says here, it's based on the idea that there is an underlying current in your life, a divine flow that is continually guiding you toward the effortless fulfillment of your heart's desires. Effortless fulfillment of your heart's desires sounds like fun, doesn't it? Way better than stroking, rowing upstream, sliding backwards in the current and running into rocks backwards. You know, not only when you're going upstream are you going away from everything you want, but you can't even see it until you're past it because you're looking backwards. So everything you want is behind you, and as you go downstream, because you can't row hard enough to get upstream, you pass it, and then you see it. Oops, too late. Missed it. It's like the brass ring that only comes up once at the merry-go-round. Okay. So in this book, it says the trick is learning how to recognize and cooperate with the flow. This book teaches you how to do that in a refreshingly clear and memorable manner. How to stop blocking the experience of the divine flow in your life. That's one of the things that we all try to learn in Millie's spiritual awareness classes. How to stop blocking the divine flow. Because you can't become a medium if you continue to block divine flow. Divine flow is what message bearing is all about. It's what being in tune means. It's being in the divine flow. And as long as we block it, we're stifling ourselves from achieving our full potential. So row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Down the stream, not up it. Merrily, 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 merrily. Well, we're not there yet, Phyllis. We're stopping with merrily, 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 merrily. You notice there are three rows and four merrilies. What does this mean? It means there's 25% more joy in life than there is drudgery. It's mathematically simple. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to flow in the divine flow merrily, 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 merrily. Sure, we have to row, 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 but as long as we're going downstream, it's so much easier than when we were going upstream. Not only that, but we can see what we're approaching and choose to have it or not as we see fit, rather than being by it before we even knew it was there. See, this stuff really works. Life is but a dream. Dreams can be good, dreams can be bad, dreams can be shocking. Dreams can be inspirational. Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Always remember that this thing started with a mouse. If you can dream it, you can do it. Remember, his wealth started with a mouse. There are some famous dreams in the world. Martin Luther King, I have a dream speech. A dream of racial freedom and equality. The most famous dream, though, I think happened in 1985 when Bobby Ewing was shot dead on Dallas. He had had a contract dispute with the powers that be and decided he would leave the show, so they killed him. In the eighth season of the most popular television show on the planet. And at the end of that season, there was a cliffhanger, as there was in a few years earlier when they shot JR, which was the second most watched television show on the planet, not counting Super Bowls. And the first one, not counting Super Bowls, was the finale of MASH. Over 60% of the people in the country watched the show Who Shot JR on Dallas. But anyway, Bobby Ewing was shot dead at the beginning of the 1985 season, and at the beginning of the 1986 season, he was seen in a shower with his wife, remarkably alive. He had had renegotiation thoughts, agreed on a contract, came back to work, and was miraculously reinvented, rejuvenated, and resurrected all in one dream. All in one dream. Because the powers that be wrote it in such a way that the whole previous season, an entire 22 episodes of Dallas, was just a dream. Life is just a dream. Or is it? Think about it, as Millie says. Napoleon Hill said, man alone has the power to transform his thoughts into physical reality. And of course, we mean women too. Man alone can dream and make his dreams come true. This is the man who originally wrote a book called How to Make a Boodle with Your Noodle and became famous for writing Think and Grow Rich. Go figure. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 15, Solomon was sleeping, and the Lord appeared to him and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awakes and realizes it was just a dream. But isn't that a dream that all of us have, the dream of discernment? Not necessarily all of us have the dream of foregoing wealth and power and death to our enemies, but we all have the dream of discernment. So dreams can be influential in our lives, even when they're bad dreams. There was a very powerful song in the country charts last year by Carrie Underwood called Just a Dream. And it was introduced at the ACMs or CMAs or one of those award shows by the widow of a highly decorated soldier who served in Afghanistan. And it speaks to the wedding that didn't happen because the young man went overseas and came back in a box. Goes something like this. If I can find the page. The preacher man said, "Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, please lift his soul and heal this hurt." Then the congregation all stood up and sang the saddest song that she had ever heard. And then they handed her a folded up flag, and she held on to it, all she had left of him. Oh, well, what could have been? And then the guns rang out one last shot, and it felt like a bullet in her heart. It's hard to read this and not sing it, but I'm not qualified to sing Carrie Underwood songs. Baby, why'd you leave me? Why'd you have to go? I was counting on forever, now I'll never know. I can't even breathe. It's like I'm looking for a distance standing in the background. Everybody's saying he's not coming home now. This can't be happening to me. This is just a dream. Oh, baby, why'd you want to leave me? Why'd you have to go? I was counting on forever. Now I'll never know. Powerful thought. Hoping it was just a dream and finding it was reality. As opposed to Dallas, hoping it was reality and finding it was just a dream. Life is but a dream. Do you suppose we're awake in some other world and dreaming in this one? I love that thought because sometimes I wish that I were asleep dreaming about that lifetime. But it's a possibility. The thing that we don't want to do is live in a waking dream. We want to be aware. We want to row our boats gently down the stream. Four times merrily. Who cares if life is but a dream? Because we're awake and we are discerning and we are in touch with our love and our God and ourselves. And Lady Antebellum wrote a song about all of that, kind of, sort of, loosely, called Hello World. Hello World, how you been? Good to see you, my old friend. Sometimes I feel cold as steel, broken like I'm never going to heal, and I see a light, a little hope in a little girl. Hello, world. Every day I drive by a little white church. It's got these little white crosses like angels in the yard. Maybe I should stop on in, say a prayer, maybe talk to God like he is there. Oh, I know he's there. Yeah, I know he's there. Hello, world. How you been? Good to see you, my old friend. Sometimes I feel as cold as steel and broken like I'm never going to heal. And I see a light, a little grace, a little faith unfurls. Well, hello, world. Sometimes I forget what living's for, and I hear my life through my front door. And I breathe it in. Oh, I'm home again. And I see my wife, little boy, and little girl. Hello, world. Hello, world. Well, the empty disappears. I remember why I'm here. Just surrender and believe. I fall down on my knees. Well, hello, world. Hello, world. Now, we know all the words and all the meaning behind the words of Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Does everyone know the tune? This portion from Mary and Nathan, between Mary and Nathan, is going to start. This portion between Laura and Teresa is going to go second. From Teresa to Yolanda, it's going to go third, and from Eva to Jane, it's going to go fourth. And do you know when to come in? You guys don't have to worry about it.
Is Nathan first or second? Is it between us?
Hey, it's between you. So Nathan's
okay. Second.
You're with them.
You're with me.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay.
Second.
Are you guys ready? Because you're setting the tone, so bring it, okay? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, gently down the stream. Row, 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 row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. One more time.
Row, row, row your boat.
Row,
row, row your boat.
Row, row, row your boat.
Life is but a dream.
Merrily, merrily,
row your boat gently down the stream.
Okay, so it's not a Judy Fail workshop. There you go. Thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you.